Okay, real talk. When did paying someone back become social media?
What do you mean?
Like, say I want to see what you're doing and who you're hanging with, and you're not posting about it on your story. I can just stalk your pay app and find out what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, that's weird. You do that?
No, I don't do that. I use Apple Cash. It's built into your iPhone, easy and secure. You can send and receive money right in messages and keep it between friends, and then use that money to buy something at a store with Apple Pay.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Maybe.
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret's just arrived collection of swim and other sun-ready silhouettes. Pack your bags with new styles from the Very Sexy collection, like the made-to-be-seen Very Sexy push-up bra, in on-trend hues like green and citron and black shine. Rewind to the future with the VS Archives swim collection, inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s. Plus, mix and match with their wide range of bikini tops and bottoms to find your dream suit. Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com.
Welcome to Criminalia, a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio.
When financial hardship caused William John Aloysius Bailey to drop out of Harvard University before finishing his degree, it didn't stop him from awarding himself a degree anyway. A medical degree, and he called himself Dr. William Bailey. But the press and the public considered him a, quote, scholarly-looking man and didn't really seem to care so much about his credentials in his professional life. Many believed the promises he made about his patent medicines, regardless of his diploma. But they should have cared, as his patent medicines could and would literally eat holes in your bones and ravage your body with cancer. And Bailey just kept the products rolling off the line for years as his patients suffered. So this one is a real villain story. Welcome to Criminalia. I'm Maria Tremarki.
And I'm Holly Fry. William Bailey's career was as a shady businessman, not a medical professional. And between roughly 1906 and the late 1930s, he launched a series of startup companies. Some of which made him wealthy, but none of which managed to operate for more than a few years. New discoveries of radioactive elements created a patent medicine craze that Bailey capitalized on. Products with lethal radioactive substances were sold with unproven promises to cure everything from arthritis to impotence. It was said they could help you regain your youth.
Patent medicine wasn't his first corporate venture. He didn't start in radioactive products. But the first sleazy business endeavor that led him into trouble was this. In 1912, Bailey was in the automotive business, sort of, and his company, the Carnegie Engineering Corporation, claimed to be selling a newly designed automobile with a price tag of approximately $600. For perspective on that, prices for Henry Ford's 1912 Model T touring car started at $690. Bailey received some 1,500 orders, and presumably that many deposits, too. It was $50 to get your name on the waiting list. What got Bailey in trouble with federal authorities wasn't his use of the name Carnegie, though it waves like a giant red flag, as the American industrialist had nothing to do with this company. But instead, it was his inadequate production capacity. And they were right. His factory was really just an abandoned sawmill that contained nothing more than a single box of tools. And that for sure is not how cars were built in 1912. As reported in the May 8, 1915 edition of the New York Times, Bailey was arrested for this. He was found guilty and was fined and sentenced to 30 days in prison.
At the time of his arrest, he was also president and treasurer of another startup, the American Hardware and Machinery Export Corporation. But after his release from prison, he set out to conquer the world of patent medicines, specifically radioactive patent medicines, which may have been inspired by physicist and chemist Marie Curie's pioneering research on radiation and her visit with United States President Harding in May of 1921. That is conjecture on our behalf, but her work does line up with the radium trend and with Bailey's new business plans. And we'll talk a little bit more about her later in the episode.
So a few years earlier, a 1913 article in the Lancet Medical Journal noted that radium water did seem to boost the libido of newts. Yes, the amphibian. Humans, though, there was no proof of that. Still, one of Bailey's earliest patent medicine products was called Lassico for Superb Manhood, an alleged cure for male impotence, which got him fined in 1918 by a Chicago court for exploiting a, quote, quack aphrodisiac.
By 1922, Bailey had launched another new company called Associated Radium Chemists, operating out of New York City. Arium, the company's signature product, appears to first show up in a newspaper advertisement from November of 1922. It was sold in a tin container, and that container held 42 tablets of, quote, genuine radium. And it costs only a dollar, which is roughly $20 a tin today. According to instructions on the label, one should, quote, take two tablets with a glass of water before or after each meal. To derive the most beneficial effects, arium should be taken regularly as directed. Arium was marketed as an aphrodisiac, but Associated Radium Chemists also produced other items, including linarium, which was a liniment, ointarium, which was an ointment, dentarium, which was a toothpaste, caparium, a hair tonic, Dax for soothing coughs, and Clax for treating influenza.
An advertorial in the Zanesville Signal on December 2, 1926 claimed, quote, recent investigation shows that the pep energy, endurance, and nerve force of the average man past 40 may often be increased by 100% by getting into his system the marvelous restorative radium power of arium.
Another advertisement for arium, printed in the Newark, Ohio Advocate on February 16, 1923, stated, quote, is rheumatism dragging you into old age? How radium reduces inflammation, relieves pain, and renews the energy and vigor of youth. Arium, now recommended by leading physicians as the new, harmless way to obtain radium for internal use. $5,000 reward if they fail. Foreshadowing aside, that $5,000 reward should have gone to anyone who lived through trying arium to cure anything. Consumers, though, loved this product. Of many positive testimonials was this one from Reverend H. McKenna in 1925, who after taking arium tablets stated, quote, I feel like a kid. Bailey's patent medicine business was off with a bang.
While Reverend McKenna may have felt like a kid again when he took arium tablets, he didn't know he was playing with poison. We're going to take a break for a word from our sponsors, and when we return, we'll talk about whether or not William Bailey's radium-infused products were or were not good for your health.
Hey, everybody, it's Holly. Listen, I've been doing stuff on stage since I was a kid, which means that I have been doing my makeup since I was a kid. And I can turn out a look when I need to, but on my day-to-day, I really like to keep it a little more relaxed and low-key. I don't have time for a full face most of the time. But that also means that Thrive Cosmetics can have me covered no matter what I'm doing, whether I'm doing something on stage, like I have an appearance or a live show, or I'm just running to the grocery store. Something in their line is perfect. And what I really love and what's important to me is that they are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free. And to me, cruelty-free is very important in the cosmetics I use. I mentioned that I've been doing my makeup for a long time. I've gotten older in that time. And one of the things that I've done to refresh my look is switch over to their Brilliant Eye Brighteners and use something like a rose gold shade to really like go all around my eye and then just blend it out and get a daytime smoky look. It makes me look a little more youthful and more refreshed. And it's just easy as pie. And it means that I don't have to mess with a whole ton of products. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/criminalia. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/criminalia for 10% off your first order. This episode is brought to you by Simply Safe. Listen, you listen to true crime podcasts. You know that the world can be dangerous and unpredictable and that there will unfortunately be people who want to hurt each other. And so it's kind of nice to get a little peace of mind by having a good home security system. Just take a few precautions. And I recommend looking at Simply Safe Home Security. I've had my home broken into in the past, and it was a terrible feeling, even though nothing that bad really happened. Aside from an intruder, I just really like knowing that I have a security setup that lets me check in on my pets when I'm not home. That is a huge peace of mind giver when I am out traveling. Simply Safe sent me a whole home security system, and I was really, really impressed by the variety of indoor and outdoor cameras they offer. And the whole thing is backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day. Get 20% off any new Simply Safe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplysafe.com/criminalia. That's simplysafe, S-I-M-P-L-I-S-A-F-E. .com/criminalia. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Man, we gotta start using Apple Cash.
Okay, why?
It's so easy and convenient. Apple Cash lives in messages.
All right.
So I can pay you in the convos we're already having, not forget a payment, or have money sitting somewhere just collecting dust.
Oh, that is nice.
And then you can use that cash right away and buy stuff, like at a store, with Apple Pay.
I don't have to do all that bank transfer stuff?
Nope. It's just right there. Easy, convenient, and secure.
Did you just pay me $1 on Apple Cash?
See how easy that was? Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Welcome back to Criminalia. Let's talk about William Bailey's companies and his two most popular products, the Radiendocrinator device and his Radithor elixir.
Shortly after launching Associated Radium Chemists, Bailey founded another company, American Endocrine Laboratories, which occupied several different locations across New York City between the early 1920s and 1930 when it closed its doors. Its flagship product was called the Radioendocrinator, and it was, according to company marketing materials, quote, the last word in scientific manufacture. The product was housed in a case called the adapter and was intended to be worn against your skin. The radioactive source inside the adapter consisted of 7, give or take, radium-soaked blotter-like pieces of paper, each one the size of a credit card. Each was covered with a thin piece of plastic and 2 gold wire screens.
Users were encouraged to wear it wherever and whenever. At home, at work, it didn't matter. Promotional booklets and materials showed both men and women wearing nothing but their radiendocrinator strapped to their head, their neck, back, among other places on the body. Its intended, and we should say alleged, health benefits came from irradiating the endocrine glands, which, quote, have so masterful a control over life and bodily health. As for one very cringe-inducing example of its use, men were advised as follows, quote, male, place radiendocrinator in the pocket of this adapter with the window upward toward the body. Wear adapter like any athletic strap, the cloth label in the front. This puts the instrument under the scrotum as it should be. Wear at night, radiate as directed. This terrifying device sold for $150. Which might seem very high, although it was initially priced at $1,000.
Coincidentally, when American Endocrine Laboratories first opened, it occupied space in the same building as Vitamon Corporation, which was owned by Dr. Herman Rubin, who hawked a product called Mastin's Vitamon Health Tablets. Rubin's relationship with Bailey and American Endocrine Laboratories is not completely clear. Though it is clear there was one. A 1924 newspaper advertorial featuring Bailey included a photograph of Rubin standing next to a radiendocrinator. It was egg-shaped and about the size of a football and mounted on a stand. Other articles would follow and included similar photos of the men.
The earliest reference to the radiendocrinator and to American Endocrine Laboratories is in a booklet that came out in 1923. That same year, Rubin published 2 books, each mentioning the device. One was scientific rejuvenation without operation, and the other was the new science of endocrinology in its relation to rejuvenation. American Endocrine Laboratories marketed and distributed them both, plus a third book titled Your Mysterious Glands, How Your Glands Control Your Mental and Physical Development and Moral Welfare. That was published a few years later.
Rubin, though, denied that he held any interest in Bailey's company and also denied he sold the radioendocrinator. But he did admit he used the device on patients in his medical practice and admitted that when he prescribed it to patients, he did so through a company called Radisant Endocrine Laboratories, and he called the product the Rubin Endocrinator. And so, yes, if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, then it is probably a duck. The Endocrinator was just another name for the Radi-Endocrinator, and Radisant Endocrine Laboratories was another name used by American Endocrine Laboratories. So, technically, he didn't sell the Radi-Endocrinator, but who did he think he was fooling? A bit of a spoiler about the guy. Because of Rubin's business interests in sketchy health products and devices, he was expelled from the medical societies of the state of New York and the county of New York in March of 1924. And in 1926, Radisant Endocrine Laboratories changed their name to US Gamma Laboratories. Guys, we see you.
Some historians believe that Rubin, and not Bailey, may have actually been the one who invented the radioendocrinator, sometimes referred to as the clinic-type radioendocrinator. The problem with this version of the instrument was that it couldn't be mass-produced and sold to the public because it was big. Remember, we mentioned a moment ago it was the size of a football. So either Rubin or Bailey, and it is not clear which, created what became known as the standard, smaller version of the device, described at the time as, quoted, "The newest type of radioendocrinator for home use is a very small device and comes together with adapters for attaching it to body."
Bailey left American Endocrine Laboratories probably in the mid-1920s-ish when he began focusing on his newest patent medicine. Called Radithor, the elixir would become his most famous and infamous product. He manufactured it at the new Bailey Radium Laboratories in East Orange, New Jersey.
Radithor consisted of only a few ingredients, but they were very potent ingredients. Its active ingredients were radium, specifically the radium-226 and 228 isotopes, as well as the radioactive element mesothorium. The rest? Just some otherwise harmless distilled water. This was marketed as a cure for asthma, constipation, low libido, diabetes, mental illness, and 145 other ailments. And it worked by, quote, "exciting the endocrine system into battling its afflictions." And one marketing campaign offered $1,000 to anyone who tried it and didn't think it was great. And no one ever claimed that reward.
But they should have, because if they lived to tell about it, it was a miracle. Today, this product is considered one of the very first, quote-unquote, energy drinks, but it's also one of the most well-known examples of radioactive quackery. But in the 1920s, for $30, you could, with no warning label in sight, purchase a case of 24 2-ounce bottles. For perspective, that's upwards of $500 a case in today's money.
Bailey had his hands in a lot of things, though. In 1924 and 1925, he was also president of the Thorone Company, located in New York City. The company specialized in thorium pharmaceutical preparations, and marketing materials promised that they sold, quote, "internal sunshine." That was their euphemism for claiming they cured male impotence. Thorium is a naturally occurring radioactive metal, and today it is a known carcinogen. An example of one advertisement from 1925 featured a muscular, confident, and shirtless man and claimed, quote, "amazing earth power builds vigorous manpower."
All his good fortune changed in June of 1926. He may have been focused on Radithor, but federal authorities were focused on, well, him. The United States Attorney for the District of Maryland filed an order for the, quote, "seizure and condemnation of 56 packages and 135 boxes of arium tablets, shipped from New York by Associated Radium Chemists, stating that the company's claims, quote, regarding the curative and therapeutic effects of said article were false and fraudulent. The court case became known as the United States versus 56 packages of Arium tablets. When the United States Department of Agriculture analyzed the seized Arium, they found that the tablets were actually composed of mainly lithium carbonate, starch, and talc, and each contained 8.58 nanocuries of radium.
Also in June of 1926, the United States attorneys for the Western District of Pennsylvania and the District of Connecticut filed similar orders for the seizure and condemnation of additional packages of Arium tablets. These seized packages of tablets shipped in February and July of 1927 from New York to Tacoma, Washington. A subsequent analysis showed that Arium's content had changed slightly. These tablets contained a different amount of radium, 2.6 nanocuries each, and strychnine had been added to the ingredients. Bailey closed down Associated Radium Chemists and moved on. He played very fast and loose with company and product names, but by the early 1930s, he was running three different companies that sold radioactive products to the public. Like Bailey Radium Laboratories, these three new companies were all based in East Orange, New Jersey. Adrenoray Company, Bioray Company, and Thorinator Company. None of the three survived very long, and although Bailey blamed their failure on the effects of the Great Depression, it was really his ongoing trouble with federal authorities that was the cause of their demise.
It was a high-profile radiation poisoning and subsequent death from radithor consumption that led to measures that would end Bailey's radium reign and strengthen the Food and Drug Administration's powers and oversight. Because the FDA was still very new, it was still quite weak, and the investigation into radithor and William Bailey was handed over to the Federal Trade Commission, a group that had more power. This was a nail in the coffin for bunk radioactive so-called cures.
Here's the thing about radium. It was discovered by Marie and Pierre Curie in 1898, and it is a naturally occurring silvery white radioactive metal that's formed when uranium and thorium, which are two other natural radioactive substances, decay in the environment. Radium glows blue-green in the dark, and it gives off light for years without any apparent power source. Because of its chemical similarity to calcium, radium behaves chemically like calcium when it's in the human body. That's bad, because it replaces the calcium in your bones. It is known as a, quote, bone seeker. Rather than passing through the body, it leaves behind radium deposits, and those deposits destroy blood cells, bone marrow, and other tissue. Depending on your level of exposure, it can cause everything from anemia, hair loss, cataracts, broken or loose teeth, impairment of the body's functioning of tissues and its organs, and an overwhelming increased risk of cancer. Radium can be lethal. In fact, Marie Curie highlighted that the effects of radiation on the human body were not well understood at the time, and she never condoned its use in things that people might eat or drink. In 1934, she died of aplastic anemia caused by radiation poisoning because of her groundbreaking work.
When radithor hit the market, it was already known that radium was dangerous, although it's unclear whether the public understood that it could be lethal. In 1913, 5 years before Bailey sold his Lassico for Superb Manhood product, British scientist Walter Lazarus Barlow published a study correctly noting that ingested radium accumulates in the bones. And in 1914, Professor Ernst Zublin, a medical professor at the University of Maryland, warned of its dangers to the body in a published review of 700 medical reports, many of which showed that bone necrosis and ulcerations were a frequent side effect from ingesting radium. Despite their work, radithor sales remained strong through the 1920s. According to a 2007 report published in the Journal of Radiologic Protection, we now know that when radium is taken internally, the poisoning can be fatal within 1 month.
We're going to take a break here for a word from our sponsors. And when we're back, we will talk about a man named Eben Byers, who died a horrific and tragic death because of his continued consumption of radium-infused water.
Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret. Pack your bags with just-arrived swim, cover-ups, corset tops, and other sexy silhouettes. When the sun goes down, opt for bold and blingy styles, like the made-to-be-seen Very Sexy Push-Up Bra from the Very Sexy Collection, in on-trend hues like Black Shine, Green, and Citron. For a glam statement, pair them with your favorite jeans and bring the heat. Because life is better in a bikini. Rewind to the future with the VS Archive Swim Collection, inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s. For endless out-of-office options, mix and match with Victoria's Secret's wide range of bikini tops and bottoms that offer you every type of coverage, from full to cheeky to minimal. And now, in this season's must-have shades and patterns, add the finishing touch with a limited edition Bombshell Escape fragrance, a free-spirited take on the iconic Victoria's Secret scent. Dive into a vibrant blend of juicy guava, lush palms, and summer glow peony. Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Welcome back to Criminalia. Let's meet Eben Byers, a popular industrialist slash playboy of the 1920s.
Eben Byers died from his consumption of Radithor. He was a Pittsburgh industrialist. He was suave. He was popular. He was also an amateur golfer with promise. He won the U.S. Amateur Golf Championship in 1906. It was in 1927, after an arm injury just wouldn't heal properly and was spoiling his golf game, that his physician suggested that he try Bailey's Radithor. Dr. Moyar, who prescribed the drink for Byers, insisted to federal authorities when later questioned that it was not harmful, stating, quote, "I never had a death among my patients for radium treatment. I have taken as much or more radium water of the same kind Mr. Byers took, and I am 51 years old, active, and healthy. I believe that radium water has a definite place in the treatment of certain diseases, and I prescribe when I deem it necessary."
Byers was a well-known guy, and his illness and death caused an inquiry into radioactive patent medicines like Radithor. Federal authorities had some suspicions about the safety of the product before Byers' death, and Federal Trade Commission lawyer Robert Heiner Wynn had been dispatched to interview him. Of that interview, which took place shortly before Byers died, Wynn described him as, quote, "young in years and mentally alert, he could hardly speak. His head was swathed in bandages. He had undergone two successive operations in which his whole upper jaw, excepting two front teeth, and most of his lower jaw had been removed. All the remaining bone tissue of his body was slowly disintegrating, and holes were actually forming in his skull."
Timothy J. Jorgensen, a professor in the Department of Radiation Medicine at Georgetown University, stated about Byers in an article for The Conversation that, quote, "although the product contained no narcotics, he became at least psychologically, if not physiologically, addicted to it. He continued to consume large amounts of Radithor even after his arm had healed." In fact, Byers was so pro-Radithor that he gifted cases of it to friends. He was a huge fan, and he even had it given to his racehorses. But then things took a turn for the worse. Byers lost a considerable amount of weight and began having headaches, and then began to suffer bone necrosis in his jaw, which caused him to lose several teeth. Radium jaw was a real thing. The condition caused dental pain, loose teeth, lesions and ulcers, and the failure of tooth extractions to heal. A Wall Street Journal headline bluntly stated, quote, "The radium water worked fine until his jaw came off." All the radium that Byers had consumed had accumulated in his bones and caused his death in March of 1932. He was 51.
When Eben Byers died from using the product, his physician, Dr. Moyar, claimed he, quote, knew that his patient had really died from, quote, a combination of blood diseases which had induced gout. An autopsy, though, did not agree with Moyar's conclusion. It was discovered that Byers had an abscess on his brain. All but six of his teeth had fallen out, and his body contained more than 3.5 times the lethal amount of radium. When he died, he was buried in a lead-lined coffin. Normally, that's to help keep out moisture and preserve the body for longer and prevent odors and toxins from escaping. In this case, it was specifically to block the radiation being released from the bones in his body. Radium has a half-life of 1,600 years, so Byers' bones have virtually the same amount of radium in them now as they did the day he died.
Bailey absolved himself in Byers' death by stating he only provided Radithor to patients on a doctor's prescription. One such practitioner, Dr. C.G. Davis, was very pro-radium and had written glowing things, no pun intended, about it in the American Journal of Clinical Medicine, including that, quote, "radioactivity prevents insanity, rouses noble emotions, retards old age, and creates a splendid, youthful, joyous life." At least six other physicians, according to Federal Trade Commission's investigation information, prescribed Radithor and stated that none of their patients had died.
Radium-infused drinks were removed from the market in December of 1931, just 3 months before Byers' death from them. Ultimately, in the interest of protecting public health, the FTC closed down the Bailey Radium Laboratories. But after the federal investigation, Bailey carried on. In 1937, he became a partner in Lee Kelpadine Company of New York City. Their sole product consisted of Kelpadine tablets made of compressed, pelletized seaweed. That's right, there was nothing radioactive about this one. Marketing claims, though, were totally sketch and promised that the tablets could treat 32 specific diseases. And because of those outrageous promises that couldn't be backed up, he ran up against the FDA's mission to crack down on such false claims. This was likely the final patent medicine Bailey marketed to the public.
In the end, Bailey died a wealthy man, suffering no consequence from the deadly effects of his snake oil products. Well, no serious or significant legal consequence, that is. He once said of his Radithor and its safety, quote, "I have drunk more radium water than any man alive, and I have never suffered any ill effects." But that, too, was not the truth. He died in May of 1949 at the age of 64 of bladder cancer. 20 years later, when his body was exhumed and tested for radioactive isotopes, Geiger counters found his body had been, quote, "ravaged by radiation." And because of that half-life, he still is.
There's no cure for what ails this, but what do you have for us?
No, there isn't. And in fact, that's kind of what inspires this drink. A few different things inspired this drink. One, of course, from a visual standpoint, I love the idea of radium being this kind of cloudy, silvery white and glowing greenish at night. Of course, there's going to be some fun color in this one. But the other thing that struck me about the story is just the damn denial that people would be in and be like, "Nope, that's not that thing that I gave that guy that's poison. That's no way. That's not the problem at all." We're calling it radium denial. It has nothing dangerous in it. If you're allergic to alcohol or if you drink too much, please drink responsibly. Anything can be problematic if you have too much of it, even water, but we're hoping that our listeners are a little bit more judicious than that. And this is a really easy one to put together. You want a very, very cold pre-chilled martini glass. Normally, I don't care what glass you use, but this one, I really think like a pointy martini glass is going to look the best, and you'll see why. There is a visual element to this. You are going to put into your shaker, so simple, 1/2 ounce of lime juice, 1/2 ounce of orgeat or a regular almond syrup. I will caveat this one and say, look for an almond syrup that has that like silvery, slightly milky look to it. And then you're just going to do 1.5 ounces of gin, and you're going to shake this with ice and then strain it into your pre-chilled glass. And then you are going to take 1/2 ounce of Midori, and you're going to very slowly and carefully pour it over a spoon down on one of the side edges of your glass. It won't all sink to the bottom, but some of it will. Some of it is going to color your drink. And it ends up giving it this really fun green glow that kind of comes from below. Here's the thing. I also had an accident one where it just mixed itself really fast. And even that green was quite beautiful and glowy. So it still has an effect of the visual. But that would also be for presentation only when you serve it. If the green is on the bottom, make clear to whoever is drinking it that they're going to want to swizzle it up before they actually take a sip. This is a real yummy drink for me. I will say I made a complete disaster version earlier that I don't care to speak on beyond acknowledging that it happened. But this one turned out beautifully and was a relief where I was like, oh my goodness, have I lost my sense of like how things could go together? And I don't know what happened on the first one.
It happens.
I just lost my mind.
It just happens.
I tried too much and a lot of flavors got in an argument. I will put it that way.
It seems like a very simple drink now.
It is. It's very simple. It's super easy. If this is one of those ones that if it is too potent for you in its martini form, you can add a little club soda to it. You could even add a little tonic to it, and you essentially get like a gin and tonic with a honeydew note, which is quite lovely. I think there are some drinks like that already that are called like a Japanese gin and tonic or a Japanese tonic. It's delicious. The mocktail on this one is pretty simple. We have talked about before subbing out gin for a flat tonic, and I stand by it for this one. And then your orgeat and your lime juice are the same. And then in lieu of Midori, a honeydew syrup. And in case people don't remember, that's easy to make. Just chop up some honeydew and boil it with a cup of water and a cup of sugar and let that boil for a little while and then strain it and keep that boiled sweet candied honeydew and put it on ice cream
Everything.
Or toast like, or whatever, or just eat it with a spoon
right?
like I do.
That's what I would do.
Because you cannot control your childlike self. That is the radium denial, which contains no radioactive ingredients and is in fact yummy. And I want to raise it in honor of poor Eben, who lost his life to quackery. You know?
To what he thought was a health drink.
This is a problem always. It continues. There are a lot of issues going on regarding what substances are and are not monitored by the FDA. Mm-hmm. And so just for our listeners, you're all bright, bright people, I know. But always be a little careful when people overpromise things that sound miraculous. It's probably not really going to be what they say it is. But I can promise you that the radium denial is very delicious. It's not going to cure anything, but it might put a smile on your face. And really, that's all I can ask for in life.
Sometimes that's a cure.
It does have restorative properties in that regard. We are so grateful that you spent this time with us today. And we hope we will see you right back here next week on Criminalia, where there will be more snake oil and a little more of the cures what ails you.
Criminalia is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from Shondaland Audio, please visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.